back to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. Today we're talking about North Carolina, the Outer Banks. Olivia, this whole show has been about food, so I think at the end of the show, it's time for us to go out and get something to eat. What are you going for?
I desperately want the seafood. I desperately want the shrimp.
Desperately want the shrimp as well, too. But you know what? When you're eating all this great seafood, you got to wash it down with something. And, you know, North Carolina is becoming popular for their breweries as well as their distilleries. And I had a chance to go to a place called Kill Devil Rum. And just that name just makes you kind of want to go say, what? What's the name of it? And it is produced by a company that is called the Outer Banks Distillery. And they're located in Dare County. And they're doing some really cool stuff there. And I want to share with you guys a conversation that I had because the history in the area is really part of their name and their location, as well as the location being in a historic as well as educational building. So owner Scott Smith shares with me why they named their rum Kill Devil Rum and how they chose their logo theme.
So the reason our theme is shipwrecks, and if you look at our logo, it's an abstract version of a partially submerged vessel on a nautical chart. So the idea behind that was, and the reason we're called Kill Devil was because during the colonial period, rum was actually originally called Kill Devil because people thought it would kill the devil inside you because water had bacteria in it. Town of Kill Devil Hills gets its name because ships would wreck there, barrels of rum or Kill Devil would wash on shore. People would grab these barrels of rum from the shipwrecks, hide them in the sand dunes, and that way wreckers would come down here trying to salvage the wrecks. And all the rum would be gone. But all the rum was actually hidden around Big Kill Devil Hill, where the Wright Brothers Monument is sitting on top of today. So we had such a unique history of shipwrecks, we wanted that to be tied into our theme because that's really how the rum arrived on our shore. So we actually have a true backstory and a unique backstory when it comes to why we're making this spirit. So since then, we've been really lucky because the community has come out and seen what we're doing here and turned this into almost like a mini shipwreck museum. So this one here, this came from what they call the Kerala wreck. It has been covered and uncovered countless times in the past 20 or 30 years or so since it's been discovered. So a guy actually found this piece up in Kerala. He cut it back down and turned it into a mantle for his house. And his wife said, get that ugly thing out of here. So he came over here. We traded him a bottle of rum for it. And now we have it here. They took the rest of the wreck down to the graveyard of the Atlantic Museum. But we've had people come in from the Coastal Studies Institute and take little samples of it and look at it. You can see these wooden pegs that are in there. From that, they're able to positively identify it as a piece of what they call the Kerala wreck. But they think it could be as old as 1652. So they think it was probably a British warship. So that's where that comes from. If you see this ship's wheel here, it was actually Matt's grandfather's. He was an engineer on a tugboat. When he retired, they gave him that wheel there. But the one that's in there, this one is actually from the wreck of the Irma. So this is the wreck of the Irma right here.
Oh.
This wrecked in Kill Devil Hills in 1925. It wrecked right onto the beach during a storm. It was behind the Croatan Inn, which is actually no longer there. That the Croatan Inn became a number of different things throughout history. It was the Croatan Inn, Papagayo's restaurant. It was also Quagmire's restaurant. It's its most recent and probably the most popular use that it was a pretty famous restaurant. So when that got demolished in 2006, the owners, John and Charles Kirchmeyer, actually passed this down to us. So this came off the wreck of the Irma, and it's been passed down through some generations, and we're pretty lucky that we actually have it here. So it's a cool piece of Outer Banks history that sits here, and we have the picture of the wreck right here.
Now, they also have several rums that they are really focusing on. They have a silver unaged rum, but the one that was really kind of cool was one called a pecan honey rum that is especially brewed and distilled by them. And they really like it because it showcases the area, sort of that southern side with pecans and things like that. And we had a chance to taste and sample their various rums. Now, here Scott shares how each is made and what makes them so special.
So I'm going to set y'all up here first with the silver rum. This is the silver unaged white rum. I bartended for a decade, and nobody ever came into the bar and said, ooh, I see you have Bacardi. I want a straight shot. It's not a very common order at a bar. So when it comes to your silver rum, that is going to be more towards your mixers, your daiquiris, your mojitos, your rum punches, rum and cokes, things like that. So with the silver unaged rum, I think it's the hardest to make because with this, you can't mask any off flavors that come out during fermentation. Anything that goes wrong during distillation or anything like that, it's going to shine through in this. So with this, we really want that raw ingredient, that molasses, to be what you get out of this. So right, completely unaged. So when you taste this, you get that bold, sweet molasses right away. And it does have real body and depth to it. I personally, I get almond, toasted marshmallow, and licorice at the finish. but the finish is soft and clean. People have had some bad experiences off white unaged rum in the past. You know, people always say, well, in college, I partied too hard on it. I don't really drink it anymore. I'm like, well, try this. This is going to be something that's going to completely be different than what you really expect out of an unaged white rum. Next up, we're going to do the pecan honey rum. This one is very unique. There's nothing like this anywhere around. If you do see somebody else doing this rum, I want you to call me so I can call my lawyer. So we really wanted to do something that was going to showcase and highlight what is local to the area here. We don't have a whole lot to work with because we'd like to keep everything natural when it comes to that. So this picks up the color and flavor and texture from these ingredients we're adding on the back end. The nuts are sourced from Mann's Harbor, right across the sound. It's still in Dare County. The honey comes from Wanchese, south end of the island here, so it's all local. You can see, like, we don't really do coconut rum here. It doesn't make any sense. We don't grow coconuts in North Carolina. So we don't really put a whole lot of effort.
So what would you say? Is that maybe your most popular rum?
That probably is because it's so unique. It's a real people see that as more like a taste of the South because there's nothing, you don't really see that anywhere around.
That's all
indigenous
too.
Yeah, it's all local. We're not sourcing anything from beyond here. This has been I see it as more of a mixer. It's great now that it's fall. Apple cider has been a huge hit for that. So hot or cold. We call that the devil in cider. We actually partnered with Rum Chata. It's a national brand. So they came into the regions that we're in and they work with us to do a cocktail that can be either a shooter, it can be a martini, or it can be just on the rocks. And it's 50-50 cut level pecan honey rum with Rum Chata. We call that the devil wears Chata. So I thought of that one after a few of those while we were out promoting with their sales team for Rum Chata. It's also great with cream soda. We call that the Honey Badger. That's been a hit. Outer Banks Brewing Station makes their own in-house cream soda. We pair with that. Ginger beer is popular, or ginger ale and cranberry juice is another one. And even for, instead of vodka, for a White Russian. All these are available. All these cocktails, our website is outerbankssystem.com. Kettleby Mule, we call it the Manio Mule. But a mule is really popular right now as well. Then I'll round it out here. We'll do the Barrel Age Gold Rum. Now this one has been barrel aged for a year and a half. Is this your next one?
Yes, it is.
Okay. This one's been barreled inside those A. Smith Bowman bourbon barrels for a year and a half. So all the rums that we make here are made specifically to be the rum that it is. We don't just have a base rum like the silver that we then age or anything like that. So each one has its own unique yeast strand, molasses blend, and then style of distillation. So this one, we actually, it's made specifically to be a barrel aged gold rum. It's been in barrel for 18 months. And that's where it gets that gold color. And we want to use a once-used bourbon barrel with this because we don't want oak to be the dominating flavor in this product. So we want the oak to come out on the finish. So it really mellows out inside that barrel. You still get that bold molasses up front. But you do get some of that oak on the finish. The oak is a very popular flavor when it comes to spirits. But we just don't want it to completely dominate the raw ingredient. So if you're using sugar or molasses, that's something that can really be taken over by the oak if this was going to be a fresh oak barrel. Thank you. Right now we're running, we have about 200 restaurants across North Carolina that carry it, maybe about 50 or 60 in Virginia. I'm not quite sure off the top of my head for D.C. or West Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Kind of moving into Georgia?
Actually, we've been talking with, we're with Southern Glazier in South Carolina, we've been talking with Georgia Crown Distributing to go into Georgia.
Fingers crossed they do move into Georgia, maybe this winter.
Certainly, I'm working up an appetite for that pecan honey rum. And as we've learned through this show, the region there really is special and unique. So if you love food, if you're passionate about all the little details, I think the Outer Banks is a great place to kind of explore those differences just from mile to mile, it seems.
Mile to mile, and it's a good place to go, you know, put everyone in the car and just kind of drive along that byway. I mean, it is definitely a place where you can check out all of these places. And there's a lot of places where you can get information and plan a trip. I mean, there's a lot of information, you know, available to you to really kind of schedule out the miles and exactly where you want to go for the day. So, yes, definitely make it really a trip of just venturing down that byway and going from island to island.
And it's low key. You know, you can cycle through. You can just hang out at the beach. There are plenty of museums and, of course, the lighthouses to visit as well. Mm. So, you know, there's something for everyone. And if you rent a home, You know, you don't have to worry about anyone staying behind cooped up in a hotel room. Instead, they're in a beautiful beachside cottage, so why worry about them?
Exactly, exactly. So many of those homes, you literally walk out the door and onto the beach, so you're right. Now, you guys, this has been a great show. We thank you so much for joining us, as always. And we'll have pictures, more information about the lighthouses, everything on our website, travelbagswithanita.com. So check it out. And we, of course, archive all of our shows there. So if you want to hear it all over again and get hungry again, you can do that too. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye. I wish that I could fly into the sky.